Welcome, everyone. This is an impromptu special solo episode of Hammerlock Hangover in association with the Wrestling Soup Network. I'm not sure when it'll air on Hammerlock Hangover, and I'm not currently sure if it'll run separately on Wrestling Soup or not, because I've just decided to do this, and I haven't done it with before talking to anyone. Not that I need permission to do a solo show, but I can't say it'll be on Wrestling Soup without talking to them first and at least sending it to them. This is not going to be the typical show. The typical show will still be coming out as usual. It's now Thursday. It's about noon on the 4th. The usual Hammerlock Hangover crew we're going to record tonight, as is our norm. But this is something I've wanted to talk about. This is going to be a limited feature relating to legal issues and a particular legal issue. And that's why I'm doing it solo. And it's been on my mind and I've been looking for a forum to do it. And really, no one's really gotten back to me. And I'm just like, well, I have a platform. I can do this myself. So this is sort of about NDA and NDA gate and everything surrounding it. And to discuss it, we have to back up a little bit. And I hope the show is not boring. I try to do the best I can to take legal concepts that are, in some cases, voluminous and condense them into a few paragraphs so that anybody can and should be able to understand them, even if you don't before or didn't before. I see a lot of things where wrestling fans make grand sweeping statements about legal topics, and it's often emotional. It's often limited to one area. So let's start with NDAs. First of all, an NDA is not always its own separate thing. It's oftentimes part of another set of documents, or it's part of a document itself. So NDA, when people use it, it typically stands for non-disclosure agreement. What's that mean? Somebody's not going to talk about it. That can be mutual, where both parties agree not to talk about it. It can be unilateral, where one party agrees not to talk about it. And it's oftentimes standalone. NDAs are not a bad thing. What's a common use of a non-disclosure? What if you wrote a screenplay or a book and you're shopping it around and you don't want it to get stolen and you haven't gotten your copyright yet, or you don't think that the publisher or the Hollywood studio is that concerned with copyright infringement? They have 900 other scripts in every office in the building, and they can say it's close enough and they adapt it just enough. You have an NDA. Probably unilateral, where they agree not to talk about it with anyone else, not to share it, not to breach the confidentiality, not to use it, or there's teeth in contract, not so much copyright law or other causes of action. You've created your own contractual cause of action that's easier to enforce, and you've put teeth in it. Injunctive relief. Injunction means a court says, stop doing that. Take that down. You cannot use it. Liquidated damages. We cannot quantify how much money the claimant, the injured party, has lost. So all parties agree that X dollars is enough. Reasonable attorney's fees at the Laffey rate. Laffey is a federal case that has set what's reasonable rates in litigation on a federal standard, or reasonable attorney's fees of 20%, whatever the case might be. Court costs, that the case will be heard in X county or in the state or federal courts of X state, so that if it's a Hollywood studio and you want to bring a case, you don't have to bring it in California. If you've submitted it from North Carolina, you can say it's in North Carolina. So there's lots of things that you can do in contracts to make your life easier, the other side's life harder. But really, it's supposed to dictate the terms of engagement. It's sort of like your marriage contract and your prenuptial, that it's already defined how your disputes will be resolved. So that's NDAs are not just an entertainment, of course, that it could be any business idea. Picture Private Shark Tank the TV show, but instead of talking to four people, you're going into individual offices. You may want them to have signed NDAs. Maybe your property is so hot that at first blush, a letter of intent goes out and it's a mutual NDA. The studio is like, hey, we think this is a great new franchise. We want first rights on it. We don't want you to talk to anyone else. We want to be able to have the right to make a first offer within 30 days. So it's mutual. Anyway, the terms can vary. I just wanted to let you know what an NDA is in that term. It can also mean non-disparagement agreement. And non-disparagement agreement just means that people won't speak badly of each other, publicly at least. My former partnership, when we separated, we signed non-disparagement agreements with each other. That's NDA right there. It was not a separate agreement. It was a non-disparagement provision or clause within a greater settlement agreement, release agreement. And this is common. NDAs are not per se something that's bad. They're used all the time. And yeah, it's a way that people buy themselves out of bad publicity or possibly worse, sometimes even criminal charges. And, you know, you can differ on whether that's terrible or not. If you saw the statistics on rape convictions and sexual assault convictions versus acquittals, you know, take all of the issues embedded in that and put them to the side. Just those plain facts. If you are a victim of that, and you know the chances of acquittal are 90%, and that your reputation is going to be tarnished publicly one way or another, and you may never get your life back, you're always going to be thought of the woman with the blue dress, or you know, the porn star who was with, you know, ex-president, or whatever the case may be. You may prefer to get a payday, move on with your life, and not have all this stuff be public. And if there are whispers, let them stay whispers. So it's not always a bad thing. Can it hide terrible things? Yes, it can. Am I justifying the actions? No, I am not. I'm just explaining to you some of the legalities. A wise person told me 30 years ago, we do not have a justice system, we have a legal system. You know, there's plenty of room for reform in it. But hopefully we learn some lessons in wrestling with the speaking out movement and the Me Too and the, you know, that a lot of allegations with substance came out, but a lot of allegations that just seemed to be bad first dates or someone hit on me and they didn't like it, you know, coming out. You know, plenty of he said, she said, where people divided on gender lines or regional lines, racial lines, religious lines, whatever it was. The point is, the world's complex, nothing's easy, and litigation isn't any easier, and litigation is public. Trials are not under seal. Sometimes juvenile cases are. But even if you're walking around in a circuit court during a juvenile, you can walk into the courtroom. Just the records are, you know, under seal, and there's ways to unseal those too. I mean, they're limited. Anyway, I don't want to get too much into that mud. A lot of cases would never resolve if it wasn't for people agreeing to not talk about them and go public with it. In wrestling, WWE and MLW, right now, suit. Believe you me, I was hoping it would go further. I wanted to get my hands on articles and the actual documents from the discovery. I wanted to know about the Tubi contract and the Fox contract, and I wanted to know about MLW's financials and their revenues. We pretty much already know WWE's, but maybe there's stuff that doesn't make it to the annual report on a granular level on the shareholders' reports. They, you know, lump lots of stuff together. Who knows? Other companies were being named, so it's possible that we would have gotten financial information on AEW, which, hey, everyone's curious about their financials, among others. So everything was in play, and there were already some protective orders being thrown out there, and not by the court. I mean, people asking for their information to be protected and held confidential. And we never got that far because the case settled. We don't know what the settlement was. You can imagine. I recently listened to Stephen Pinue on another wrestling podcast, and he didn't know, and he's pretty close, or if he does know, he's not allowed to say, but basically tell you the same thing I did. You know, that no one knows what the settlement is except for the lawyers and people at the top levels of each company, whatever that is, in MLW, that money wasn't necessarily exchanged, but it probably was. How much? Probably not nearly as much as you're thinking right now. Would it be six figures? Probably. Would it be seven figures? Maybe, but low. And a lot of that is going to go to the lawyers. It's also possible the parties just agreed to drop everything and let it go. Who knows what WWE knows about MLW, or maybe the case was so bad they were threatening to get sanctions. The point is, whatever it is, the parties settled, and part of that is because nothing would go public, and that's the NDA. And chances are that was a good thing for MLW, because chances are they got some money, and chances are they'll never speak about it again. And, you know, Court Bauer now has, he said himself that he was making poor business decisions because he was distracted for the last couple of years with the lawsuit, and now he can focus. Also, now he's hopefully more solvent, so he can maybe sign some wrestlers to better contracts, and you won't get, you know, like arguably your biggest star in Alexander Hammerstone expressing public frustration and leveraging a release. We recently saw the Von Erichs left MLW a year ago. Nobody knew, nobody paid attention. Lance Anoa'i and Juicy Fatu, others, a bunch of people got their releases from MLW. And then, you know, you see a bunch of bigger stars come in or bigger names for one arc, you know, one taping, one pay-per-view. John Morrison, Taya Valkyrie was there for a bit. Leo Rush, Riddle is there now for a bit. Richard Holliday's come back for a bit. But no one's signing long-term contracts. And, you know, and maybe this will help. And the NDA helped that along. Without an NDA, that wouldn't have happened. But it could occur in a million other cases. Anything where the parties don't want information revealed, which is most cases, because this is usually personal information, whether it's human being personal information or corporate personal information. By personal, I mean important essential client lists, methodologies, marketing tactics, financials, where they bank, you know, what their investment portfolios are. And I'm talking about the plaintiffs and the defendants here. You know, companies just don't want that going public. Not always rationally. Everybody thinks that their intellectual property is worth so much more than it generally is. There are, you know the brands that the brand makes a difference. You know, FedEx and UPS, that brand probably makes a difference. WWE, the brand makes a difference. Major League Baseball, Nike, the brand makes a difference. There's a reason why, you know, Chanel, you know, trademarks everything. But, you know, does Aldi, does that brand really make a difference? Or is it just because the food is cheap? So, you know, reasonable minds can differ on that stuff. But for a lot of companies, you know, they think their proprietary secrets or the way they approach sales or their client lists or whatever are super special, and sometimes they're right, but most of the time it's overblown in their own collective minds. Anyway, that's part of what NDAs are. When we talk about NDAs in wrestling, we're probably thinking about stuff that went on with Donald Trump and Vince McMahon. Similar instances, though Trump apparently was always consensual. He just didn't want people to know he was cavorting about and who he was cavorting about with. Vince, different situations, and John Laurinaitis, it seems as though, you know, he probably used his power either to, you know, offer people employment and advancement, and or to threaten them with impeding their careers. Some people are saying that he's a rapist and committed sexual assault. I guess that depends on your definition of sexual assault. If you say, hey, you want to work for me, you got to do this. Is that assault? Reasonable minds can differ on that. I can tell you in criminal law, at least in my state, it's not. But it's crappy as shit. I mean, it's horrendous behavior, as is any level. I mean, there are levels to this, and you know, this whole words are violence, you know, sort of takes away levels. Violence is violence, and there are levels to violence too. Again, in Maryland, we have fourth degree, third degree, second degree, first degree sexual offense, and they, you know, and they have different degrees of physicality involved in them. Or, you know, and at the lower end, you know, threat of physicality as well. Well, not necessarily just the lower end, but threat of physicality, depending on the totality of the circumstances. So, you know, I'm sure that if you hate Vince, you think that he threatened physicality or terrible career consequences. If you love him, maybe you think he did nothing. He was just a powerful man. So like Monica Lewinsky was, you know, enamored with Bill Clinton. He's the president. He's powerful. So of course you would do anything for him. Or it's somewhere in the middle where it was like, you know, you understood if you played ball with Vince that you'd get a job, or if you played ball, you'd be pushed or get a raise or do whatever. But it was consensual. And then, you know, Anna Nicole Smith married the old guy. I mean, you know, you doubt there was much true attraction there. And if you hate him, you think that he was, you know, trapping people in rooms and kidnapping them. And we don't know. And that's because there's NDAs. And I understand that's frustrating because you want to know what happened in those situations. The one, you know, currently that's resurfaced with Chris Jericho, there's no law against hitting on women and being rejected. If there was, you know, we'd all be in trouble. And there's no law on women hitting on men and being rejected. Since Chris Jericho was married, that's really more his wife's issue or his kids' issues with him than his, but legally it's his wife's issue. If that's the case, then there's the other spectrum, you know, sort of as we discussed with Vince. If it wasn't just a I'm hitting on you kind of thing and you're grossed out and you say no and you leave, it's not a crime. Is it creepy? Maybe. You know, if you trick someone into your room, that's creepy. If you do it at a bar in a public place to say, hey, you want to get a drink and come to my room, and she says no, and that's the end of it, that's normal. But if she got tricked into going in his room and he's like, hey, I can really make things easier for you here in AEW and in the wrestling world if you do this, that's a different level of creepy. If he says, if you don't do this, you're not going to work for this company anymore, that's yet another level of, you know, we're going from creepy to, you know, violations. And of course, if he closed the door, locked it, and got physical, that's entirely different levels. Again, you know, now we're talking about criminality. I don't know what happened. I'm not even trying to guess what happened with Chris Jericho and Kaylee Ray, and you know, and what Lufisto and others know or don't know, and what Nick Hausman knows or doesn't know. But I'm bringing this up because everyone's saying that he's hiding behind NDAs. We have no information that there's any legal settlement between Kaylee Ray and Chris Jericho and or AEW. I've not heard about it, and I haven't heard about that. I doubt you have either. You're just guessing. So I wouldn't jump to any conclusions. As far as other people, I don't know. The only ones we know about were the people involved in the fight that signed NDAs as part of settlement agreements. And Apparently everyone in the room signed it because AEW doesn't want that getting out. People ask, why does Punk not want it getting out? So Punk probably would be very happy to get it out. That's why they gave him money, to have him go away and not talk about it. So Punk's leverage was he did want it to get out. Plus, he was going to sue for breach of contract. I think he had at least two contracts, one talent, one executive employment, because, you know, that's one of the things they do in AEW is they make a lot of people executive vice president to get them on employment contracts so they can get health insurance and stuff like that, which is nothing inherently wrong with that. But, you know, when you think people have power because they have a title, we've seen that a lot of them don't have any power. The power comes and goes with the whims of Tony Khan and sometimes the whims of themselves. But, you know, the CM Punk NDA is different than, you know, say a theoretical Kylie Rae NDA or, you know, a Stormy Daniels NDA. While the phraseology is the same and the concept is the same, they're in very different circumstances. And in fact, the phraseology might not even say it probably isn't a non-disclosure agreement. It's probably a settlement agreement and global release. And in there's confidentiality and non-disparagement agreements. And everyone's just throwing around NDA. And usually when there's an NDA as a standalone, it is more like that I'm pitching my idea to you type of situation. But typically when you hear NDA in the press and in conversation, it's usually part of more of a global settlement agreement and release. Donald Trump just didn't have Stormy Daniels sign an NDA. He had to sign an entire, you know, settlement agreement and release. That's what she got the $120,000 for, et cetera, et cetera. Same with Vince, and that's why he had to pay it back to WWE. I've talked about it extensively on Hammerlock Hangover. I talked about it extensively in my days on the PWC. I think I even talked about it extensively a couple times with Mish on Mash with Mish's on Wrestling Soup. So if you want to go back and look for those segments, that's fine. I don't really want to get bogged down in that because I want to keep this to a half hour show tops. I don't love doing solo shows. Even though nobody else could really help me with this necessarily, I just don't like talking to a screen to myself in a vacuum. I prefer to have someone else there, at least to not feel like I'm talking to myself. Anyway, so I think it's wrong for people to assume there's NDAs with Chris Jericho. Now, what happened with Chris Jericho is I'm sure lawyers told him to shut up, whether they're his own lawyers or AEW's lawyers, it doesn't matter. Probably both. Probably everyone said shut up, which is why he's being silent and which is why, you know, Tony Khan always gives non-answers. And when he says this is a legal situation, sometimes he's full of shit. Sometimes he's 100% right that he can't and shouldn't talk about because this is a legal situation. In other cases, it's sort of in between. It's not necessarily a legal situation, but it can become one. And guess what? There's a reason why people blame things on their lawyers because the lawyers say, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it yet. Don't talk about it until I know more. Don't talk about it until we tell you to talk about it. So while it's fun to laugh at, especially when someone's wearing a Phyllis Diller era or a Sophia Loren, you know, fur fez hat and sunglasses, all they need is like the Burgess Meredith penguin, you know, cigarette holder and cigarette to look more ridiculous. You know, that's funny. It's a ha ha, but it's the prudent way to do things. It's best practices. Now, what Chris Jericho did when he was drunk tweeting Christmas at 3 a.m. his time, 4 a.m. Eastern time, yelling at Stephen Pinu or whatever and saying that he didn't sign an NDA. Well, you know, first of all, Chris Jericho wasn't there. He wasn't in the room. I mean, we know where he was. He's the one who told... Tony that something was going on. We saw security run back and I think, you know, Tony asked Chris to handle the press conference for a while and whatever else happened. So, you know, I never knew Chris was in the room. But if he was in the room and he didn't sign an NDA, that's legal malpractice by AEW's team. They are not an impressive group historically as a legal team for a big company. People like to make fun of Mega, and I think that she's earned some of that. But then apparently her replacement was a guy named Chris Peck, and it sounds like he wasn't really way on top of things either, because we know at least that Mrs. A. Steele didn't sign an NDA and she was in the room. And that's crazy, because when you and if Jericho was in the room and he didn't, that's crazy too. Now, Jericho's Team AEW, but that doesn't necessarily mean forever. You get everyone to pipe down. So missing anyone, let's just assume it's only Mrs. A. Steele, and she can talk. Well, right now, the information is otherwise available. And that pierces every single non-disclosure and confidentiality agreement there, practically on ours. Practically, universally, there's several grounds to pierce confidentiality, NDA, whatever you want to call it. One is government subpoena or summons and litigation, and there's more than two, but these are the two big ones. One is the information is otherwise made public or otherwise available. Well, you've allowed someone to talk, and so no, everyone else needs to talk. So you've now paid people off, CM Punk, in the 7 or 8 figures, to not talk, and you've kept a giant loophole there where they can all talk. And by the way, that's why you haven't heard Mrs. A. Steele speak. I'm sorry, I don't know her name. Because she's represented by counsel saying, don't say anything, because your leverage to get a big payday is for them to tie up that loose end. Now, the whole thing with Stephen Pinnell and Chris Jericho, when they were talking about NDAs, that was more about confidentiality agreements in an employee handbook. I promise you an employee handbook does not talk about if there's sexual offense and we pay the claim, you must stay confidential about it. That's not what an employee handbook has. If you have an employee handbook out there or you've ever had one, take a look at it. I mean, it's going to talk about confidentiality. Don't give away our clients' information if it's confidential. Don't relay our trade secrets. You can't use our copyrights. You can't use our trademarks. You agree not to compete with us for X amount of time. Anything that's marked proprietary is our, that's what is the typical confidentiality agreements. Some officers have others, if it's in our board of directors meetings or if it's in our management meetings, without the authorized written consent of, the CEO or the legal department, this is covered under confidentiality. But they're usually pretty broad about typical employer information that the employer believes belongs to them. It's not to cover every situation under the sun. So while Chris Jericho said, I didn't sign an NDA, and then Stephen Pinnell said, well, you have a confidentiality agreement in your employee handbook. He's like, I didn't sign an employment handbook. I mean, Chris Jericho gave Stephen Pinnell some arguments, and then Chris says, I don't adhere to one. Well, he's also an EVP. So, he's basically, what he's done is he's provided evidence that the officers don't even know they have one and they don't adhere to it and they do with everyone. Basically, it's the Wild West. Whatever the policies are, whether they're legal contracts or just guidelines, people aren't following. It's a bad look. And Chris Jericho opened that door up for no reason, no reason at all. So this might continue. But you also may never hear another word about it, because Mrs. A. Steele will probably get paid. Chris Jericho probably just helped her get another $100,000, and she'll probably sign an NDA. Jericho's role might be reduced some. Whether he recovers from that or not, who knows? Tony Khan, seems to fall in love, but he's fallen out of love as well. And we'll see. But that's speculation. And I only want to speculate on legal things and try to explain better the concept of non-disclosure agreements, non-disparagement agreements, confidentiality agreements. And that in this case, we're probably more talking about confidentiality and non-disparagement in global releases. Just last thought. If you think of a lot of cases, disputes between businesses, acrimonious divorces, interfamily issues, whatever the case is, over 90% of every kind of case settles. And in a lot of those cases, listen, your average car accident, who can, you know, it doesn't matter. There's probably a police report anyway, or tickets or whatever, but you know, that it's an accident. That's not something where it's embarrassing. But if you have that same accident and there's a prostitute in the front seat, maybe you want to settle that case under a confidentiality agreement. So, I mean, and, you know, so our judicial system would be so much worse off than it is right now, so much more backlog. Justice would be delayed by years if you didn't have these kinds of items in the arsenal to help resolve cases. And maybe you don't care about that, but you would if you had a case before a court. And instead of finding out that your trial date isn't for 8 or 9 months, which might be frustrating enough, or a year and a half, which might be frustrating enough, to find out that your case is not scheduled for 8 or 9 years, because that's what would happen. And the way to avoid that would probably be for settlements to be worse, smaller, lower. And you know who wins that? The more powerful, the richer party, generally, unless you have a really embarrassing time bomb against them. So I hope this clears things up. If you have other questions you want to talk about further, you can certainly contact me on Twitter at IckersFellMD. You can contact Hammerlock Hangover at HammerlockHO, or you can email us at HammerlockHangover@gmail.com. Steve is really good about managing that stuff and getting it to me. I'm happy to talk about it. If you want me to talk about it on Wrestling Soup, if they even air this, or even if they don't, let Mish know. You know, obviously that's his channel. He decides what goes on there or not. But if people want to hear about it and want to be more of a conversation with him, which I think would be more interesting, I'd probably get more out because it's just not relying on me sort of shooting off at the top of my head. I'd be responding to the questions. And, you know, if I realize that Mish is following me and understands what I'm saying, then I know I'm good at doing a good job. But if he's asking a lot of follow-up questions to getting me to clarify my statements, then I'll know the way I'm explaining it isn't good, because he's a smart guy and I will do better to try to explain it better. But hopefully I did a pretty good job. Hopefully you found this valuable. I know it's not particularly entertaining, but this was not designed to be. This was designed to be informative, and I really want to get it off my chest. All right. Thanks for your indulgence. And yeah, follow us, like, subscribe, share, all the other good stuff. Feels a little frivolous after the topic that we've been talking about. All right. Stay evil, my friends.